Hi, my name is Nicholas, and I am a former journalist for NRK. I was born in Belgium to Swedish parents who raised me in over 20 countries in Europe, Asia, and South America. English is not my mother tongue. English is not my native language. And I didn't live in an English-speaking country until I was 16 years old. English is, however, my first language. But I often wonder, what is English? Why can I hear the difference between an Australian, a Londoner, a Bostonian, or an African all sharing a common language? The English language has approximately 400 million native speakers worldwide and is recognized as the single most widely spoken global language. In this podcast, we will explore the nuances of English accents and pronunciation, together with five native speakers from all over the globe and a Norwegian professor of this strange and wonderful global language. Who knows? Maybe I'll learn something new about my first language. Today, I will be speaking to Elita from Tanzania. Tell me a little bit about Dar es Salaam, where you were born.
So Dar es Salaam is at the coast of Tanzania. It's a very beautiful city and it's a very busy city. So living there, like, it gave me an experience of like living with a lot of people. It's very diverse. We have people from different races there. We have people from different backgrounds. It's basically where everybody meets up. And it's an amazing like blend of culture. And yeah, it's an amazing place.
So the city itself is very multicultural. Does that also reflect itself in the languages that are used there?
So in Dar es Salaam, we use Kiswahili, but there is also a lot of languages from the natives of the area. But I would say in terms of like dialects, definitely there in different places of Dar es Salaam, you would find people speaking different type of Kiswahili, but they would all like be, yeah, in Swahili.
Because Swahili is the official language of, and this is also interesting. How do you pronounce, you said Tanzania?
So in Kiswahili, we would say Tanzania, but in English, as how I learned, it's Tanzania. But
wow,
yeah, that's basically it. But back home, we say it's Tanzania.
Yeah, okay. So because in Norwegian, we would probably also say Tanzania, and that is the Swahili pronunciation.
Yeah, yeah.
How early are people in your country exposed to English?
So in my country, English is official language, but then in terms of education, students are introduced to English from the primary level, but they're introduced to English as a subject and not as necessarily a learning medium, and that is for public schools. But then you can also opt to take English medium as your learning medium in primary, just as how I did. But it is compulsory to take English as the learning medium when you're in secondary level and higher levels of education.
So could it be the case that because there are so many cultures and languages in one area, that English has become like a common language for all of these people to understand each other?
Yes. So English has taken a very large part in like in terms of communication, because as much as we love Kiswahili, sometimes the translations of Swahili words to English can be a little bit like there is no translations of some words from English to Kiswahili and from Kiswahili to English. And also the huge rise of international like relations that are like international organizations in the country, NGOs are more likely to like more likely to increase the demand of English speaking. But we are trying like our level best to also preserve the Swahili language, which is, it has some challenges, but I think we're doing very, very fine with that.
I haven't been to Africa myself, but I can hear when you speak English that you are from Africa. If I were to get really good at this, would there be some way that I could tell that you were specifically from Tanzania?
I guess the accent gives it away, but then Personally, I feel like you cannot really like distinguish a person's accent, like person from Tanzania. I would say like the pronunciation of L and R can be sometimes confused because of the language that we speak, which is Kiswahili. So I guess that would be one of the factors that you can at least guess if I come from Tanzania or the East Africa region at large.
Okay, so I could kind of place you in East Africa maybe by decoding the L and the R, you said?
Yes.
So give me an example. Let's say laterally, where there are L's and R's, how am I going to find out that you are from East Africa by the way you say it? Give me an example, please.
Well, basically, sometimes I personally have like difficulties in pronouncing it. Like I'll say like laterally. You see, that's kind of confusing. Like laterally, or I would say ratellary, something like that. It's just like it's very hard for me to pronounce it. I guess it's I wouldn't say it applies to everyone from my country, but I would say I have also had some encounters with some of my friends who have the same problem. So yeah,
that's interesting. Maybe it's just a little bit of the tongue tricking you a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
When you're speaking to me, are you adapting your English? If you were speaking to somebody from the same area as you, would you be using more local words or maybe even some Swahili mixed into your English?
Definitely, yes. Interesting fact, among the youths, there is a dialect called Swanglish, where it's like a mixture of Kiswahili words and English words. So ideally, if I was to speak with a fellow Tanzanian, I would include Swanglish. I would talk to them in the dialect of Swanglish.
Swanglish.
So, yeah, I would be more comfortable.
That sounds really fun, though.
Yeah.
Are there any typical examples you can give me of a Swanglish sentence?
Definitely. The use of Jamani. So I'll be like, in case you would have asked me, let's say, did you drink tea today? And I'll say, yeah, nisha kunywa chai today na ni mambo mazuri. Like, okay, that's a very complicated sentence, but I would say like jamani, words like jamani, words like nilikuwa, words like some nouns also. I'll put in some nouns, if that makes sense. It's an unofficial language, so it's like very hard. We don't even have like rules to guide the language. It's basically like you speak what you feel and people just understand that magically.
But that's fascinating because it means that the languages are alive and you're actually creating a new form of communication using multiple languages. And this just comes naturally?
Yeah. Well, Kiswahili has a history. Actually, Kiswahili has a history of like merging different languages. So just a brief history about Kiswahili is that Kiswahili, one of the theories of the origins of Swahili is that it's a mixture of Arab and Bantu language, which was like combined together to form Kiswahili during the trading times, which dates back to even 200 BC. And also there is also like a lot of Arabic words in there, like when I say shukrani, when I say bargashe, it's like a lot of words in Swahili, especially nouns, they're directly taken from the Arabic language. And also there are a lot of English words in Swahili, like when I say sketi, I hope you understand that, which I just mean a skirt. When I say shati, I mean a shirt. It's like a lot of words. And we have some Portuguese words. We have some German words. Well, basically, we have words from the different people who we interacted with during history, from the time of slavery, from the time of colonialism, from the time of feudalism. It dates back. So I would say that even now that we are making this new language because of the increase of the English language spreading in our country. So definitely it's a natural process that has been happening from like a long time ago, and it's basically how Kiswahili like builds itself. It takes words from different languages and also from the Bantu language, which is like the main core of Kiswahili, and forms them into the Swahili language that we all know today.
That's amazing. So your language, your Swahili, your English, and your Swanglish is almost like a representation of the history of your country.
Yes, definitely.
If we were to look into popular culture, let's say Forrest Whitaker playing Idi Amin or Eddie Murphy playing an African prince or king, do you think these are good representations of your dialect, or do you sit and laugh at these Americans trying to speak your accent?
So you mentioned an example of Eddie Murphy, and that's just attracting me. With the Americans, and there's like the specific people who are acting these parts, like let's say the Black Americans. So they are basically Africans because they originated from this place. So in a sense, if they want to express that Africanness to the like to embrace that because their culture was basically stolen from them. So if they want to express that, I have no problem with people expressing where they are from, their ancestry. But also like I appreciate the efforts because when like our language is spoken by Americans in like different movies, let's say Coming to America or let's say Black Panther, it's such an appreciation. Like I just feel so amazed, and just the fact that they are trying. But I would say that it's important to also have a representation of the actual like people who actually grew up with the language, because sometimes the pronunciations of the words that are used are like sometimes a little bit funny. But yeah, that's my stance. On it. And
you feel honored, but you would be able to catch them out as being maybe American if you were listening closely. Then
yeah, definitely. Like it's not only America; it's like every other person who does not know Kiswahili, when they speak Kiswahili, like it's very easy to notice. Just as how you say that you notice that I'm from Africa. That's how, when even you speak my language, I can notice that you're not from my country because of the way you speak. And I just wanted to refer back to your question previously about the accents and how people in the mainstream media might be like doing these accents or like making movies about this. I would say like it's important to like to draw a line between like mocking a person's accent and actually appreciating a person's accent, because I think that there are some movies which are like, which have been manipulated into like mocking of these accents. And it's not only mocking the African accent there is nothing as the African accent, like mocking maybe the Tanzanian accent or the Nigerian accent. It's also mocking of different accents, like the Indian accent or I don't know, a lot of accents. So like there should be like a fine line John between mocking and actually appreciating someone's culture.
Yes, I understand you completely. There's a difference between teasing somebody or trying to replicate an actual dialect.
Yeah.
You mentioned Swanglish and the youth developing their own language. Can you tell what generation someone is by the way they use English in Tanzania?
Oh yeah. I would say the younger generation is adapting to the American version of English, using of slang, you know. So I could definitely differentiate it. And the older generation is mostly focused on like the British version of English, which so there is like a huge distinct difference there that you can see from a person who is like born in the 2004 and a person who is born in like 1980s or something.
I see. So like a move from the colonial English over to a more modern pop culture American version.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I have learned so much from you, Elita.
Thank you.
Thank you to Elita from Tanzania. Now I will be speaking to Anna Dahl, Associate Professor from the Department of Language and Literature at NTNU, to try to get some more answers about African English in general. How are you, Professor Dahl?
I am good, thank you.
Perhaps the biggest ambassador for African English is South African, spoken by white people and made famous by Leonardo DiCaprio in the movie Blood Diamond. Why is this dialect the most famous African English in pop culture?
That's a good question, because, of course, that's not the only South African English. There are a number of South African Englishes. Partly, I think the reason that we meet that one is because we tend to only encounter white people in movies. White South Africans will typically speak that variety. So South Africa has at least two major types of English, and one is the one spoken by white people, mostly descendants of British immigrants, which is sort of a little bit similar to Australian or New Zealand English. And that's
right,
the kind of English that Leonardo DiCaprio speaks in that movie. But then the English that's spoken by people of African descent, so black people in South Africa, tend to speak a very different variety of English, which sounds a bit more like other African Englishes. So South Africa is a special case. It has so many different groups of people that it actually has more than one English.
So what are some of the characteristics of South African English? What are we picking up on that makes us able to place it geographically?
So for that variety that we spoke about now that Leo speaks, I think it's largely in the vowels. So they tend to pronounce vowels in what we call a very narrow way. So I'm not very good at doing it myself, but it is in pronunciation. It is in pronunciation. So they'll have sort of the letter A is often very E-ish instead of open A, and so on. And I think if you listen to Australian and New Zealand English, you can pick up some of the same types of vowels in those.
Can you say something about the other African English variants? How did they come about?
Yeah. So most of them, almost all of them, came about as a result of the British Empire and colonialism. So for, you know, many, many years, Britain had colonies in lots of parts of Africa. And so they introduced English, or imposed, I should say, English as the official language in these areas, and, you know, required that if you were to interact with the colonial government, you would have to speak English. That also worked because most of these countries are very multilingual. So it wasn't the case in most of these countries that everybody already spoke a different language. So it's not like in Norway where almost everybody speaks Norwegian. So it sort of helped in a way to allow different people to speak one common language. And that's the reason I think today one might think, why didn't they get rid of English when they got rid of, you know, colonialism, but many countries have decided to keep English as a language in their country because they don't necessarily have one big language that most people speak. But these other languages that were already present there and that people still speak today are the main reason why these varieties in Africa, aside from the one type of South African English, are so different from British or American English and might be difficult to understand if you're not used to them, because most speakers of English in Africa also speak at least one other language, mostly several other languages. And English has sort of been there alongside, very close to other languages for a very long time. So they've influenced each other.
What about Tanzania?
So a country like Tanzania, for example, where Swahili is widely spoken, they use Swahili and English for their official business inside of Tanzania today. So it's not just like in Norway, we mostly use English across borders, right? But in these countries, it's used within the country's border as well, because a lot of people don't speak the same languages within the country aside from English. But they typically have at least one other major local language that they also use.
How do you see African English represented in pop culture these days?
Not very much, to be honest, which is why, of course, Black Panther, it really was a very new and unique thing, because it had all African characters. Almost all the main characters are African, and some of the main actors also were actually African. Most of the actors, such as Chadwick Boseman, were non-African in the sense that they were born somewhere else, but at least they had had African heritage. But mostly when you watch at least mainstream sort of Hollywood movies, there aren't many African characters. And the few African characters that you see are very minor, don't really have a personality, and they tend to be stereotypes of Africans. So they tend to be uneducated and just act as local assistants for white main characters. So there isn't a lot of representation, and what is sort of a stereotype of some kind of primitive, uneducated language, which of course isn't what African English is at all.
Thank you so much, Professor Anadol.